President Rodrigo Duterte again tells the Senate to stop looking into alleged corruption in government projects. The health department closely monitoring a new COVID-19 variant first discovered in Colombia. Moderna gets the green light for the use of its COVID-19 vaccine on 12 to 17-year-olds here in the Philippines. We'll be speaking with FDA Director General Eric Domingo later on in the program. And dozens are dead in the catastrophic flooding that occurred in the U.S. Northeast. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. We begin with this story. The Philippine Food and Drug Administration grants the emergency use authorization of the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine on adolescents. The FDA approved Moderna's EUA amendment application to include those between 12 and 17 years old.
Ang watch out for ng ating mga vaccinators at ng mga doctors, yung very rare cases of myocarditis, no, para pong inflammation sa puso na nakikita sa mga very few, very rarely, one in for every million, siguro a few every million na binakunahan, at mas nakikita sa mga younger males. But definitely, with the Delta variant affecting a lot of children, nakita po ng ating mga expert that the benefit of using the vaccine outweighs the risk.
All right, joining us now is FDA Director General Eric Domingo. Dr. Domingo, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, good afternoon, Carmina.
All right, primary consideration why you granted the EUA of Moderna as a possible vaccine on 12 to 17-year-olds here in the country, doctor.
Yeah, so Moderna has been given the green light already in several countries, no? In Europe and in the U.S., for 12 to 17-year-olds. And then they sent us the clinical trial data on this group of children. And our experts saw that the safety and the efficacy rates are quite high. And right now, no, that there's a lot of spread, that including children are getting COVID-19. It really, you know, when you weigh it, definitely the benefit of using the vaccine outweighs the risk.
What about what you mentioned a while ago, myocarditis? How possible is it, or how deadly will it be if that's the side effect on the teens?
So there have been, out of millions of teens that have been vaccinated, there have been a few reported cases in the U.S. and in Europe. But very mild, usually. It's something easily managed, and the patients, get well. And, knowing that even viral infections, if you get COVID-19, the possibility of getting viral myocarditis is quite high. And we know that the possibility of getting it from the vaccine is definitely lower than getting it from COVID-19. So these are the considerations. And so when you take a look at the bigger picture, it's still safer not to use the vaccine and protect these children from COVID-19.
And talking about these children, Dr. Domingo, how is it going to play out? Are we going to follow the template before those with comorbidities go first?
Yes, no. So we do have a set priority list. So the government right now is going for people with comorbids, and then very soon are going to the general population, not the 18 and above. After that, they will then go to the children, and I believe now they're considering to start with children who have comorbids, children who have diabetes, who have illnesses that may predispose them to a poorer outcome if they get COVID-19. And I hear the target might be sometime in October.
Are there children or teens who are not eligible to get the Moderna shots based on the clinical trials?
Not really. No, this was tried on a wide range of kids, and it was it's okay for all children.
All right. Here's the thing, though. Before we got you on air, actually during the past couple of weeks, people have already been talking about booster shots. So when you talk about giving or administering vaccines to children and booster shots for those who have been vaccinated during the early part of this year, what should come first?
So right now, the health workers, for example, who were vaccinated, the 6 months would probably start next month, now by October. Yeah. And some countries have already decided to give booster shots to high-risk individuals after 6 months. However, the protection rate after 6 months is still not clear. No, we believe that there's still quite a good amount of protection. And since these people are vaccinated already, maybe talagang the government is really thinking, you know, vaccinate everybody else first. Stop the transmission among the population, not just the older people, maybe the children also who are now getting it and transmitting it, before giving extra doses to those who have already received it. So this is the direction we're going now. And our experts are continuously checking the information and then making decisions. So every week, the all experts group, they meet and then they make recommendations. But as of now, the booster shots are still not on the table at this time.
So parang nagbago na rin yung ating atake dito sa vaccination, if you compare it to last year's, when the supply really wasn't there yet. The priority then was vaccinate the healthcare workers first, get them protected. But now that they have protection, we're shifting now to the entire eligible population so that healthcare workers won't have to get overwhelmed more than they are as we speak. Dr.
Yeah, exactly. I do believe that, no? But it's important kasi to stop the transmission and stop people from getting sick. And then at the same time, just really going through that list of yung list natin ng prioritization. We just really have to vaccinate everybody and protect everybody.
Well, that's easier said than done because, Dr. Domingo, the supplies aren't here. What sense are you getting? When can the teens aged 12 to 17, when can they get their shots? Because the supplies aren't coming in yet.
Yeah, fortunately, starting late August and then September, October, the shipments have been coming in bigger batches, no? Including, I believe, by itong October and November, we're going to get a lot of the orders from Pfizer and Moderna, which are the ones right now we authorized to use in children. So I think by itong fourth quarter, October, November, December, we'd probably get down to that list to include children, especially those who have risk of getting, really bad COVID.
How do you think this is going to play out? Kasi ibang usapan to. These are children that we're looking at, Dr. Domingo. May extra layer ba yan? Do they have to have their PDA issue a certificate? Paano ba yon?
Well, hindi naman clearance, like a pediatric clearance, but more of a screening process. Really check to make sure that the child is well during the time that the vaccination is being done. And, the parents have the responsibility to really take a look at the information on the vaccine. Because this is, of course, nobody will be given a vaccine without consent. No? In this case, the consent will come from parents kasi minor de edad ditong mga to. No? Hindi naman sila makakabigay ng consent nila. So I'm asking parents to take a look at the information. It's posted on our website for both Moderna and Pfizer, and so that you can get a clear picture before you decide to have your child vaccinated later on.
So would you also recommend that they consult with their pediatricians?
Oh yeah, that would be a good idea. No, kasi tayo pediatrician ang nagbabakuna talaga, no? So this, when we go to children, they might have different guidelines na separate from vaccination in adults. So yeah. Possible talaga magkakaroon ng ibang paraan.
But before you did grant that green light for the use of Moderna's COVID-19 jabs on 12 to 17 years old, did you have to consult with the pediatric society here in the country?
Oh, well, our experts are they merong pediatricians. So kasama, so it's a wide range. There are adult doctors and then pediatricians, immunologists, allergists, and infectious disease specialists. So we really get a wide range of opinions before we decide, and consensus. No, I do not give an EUA unless all the experts agree that it's going to be beneficial. But of course, usually yung pediatric society maglalabas din yan sila ng stand nila and some guidelines, which we hope that they will come up with soon.
How much of a game changer do you think, Dr. Domingo, will this be, not just on the vaccination rollout, but also we're talking about jumpstarting the economy. We're also talking about gaining back the lost 2 years in the education of these children, Dr. Domingo.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing here is number one, the young children going back to school. That's what we want. It's just such an abnormal situation for children to be staying at home for 2 years, no, in front of the computer. So, and ang economy natin, family driven, no? nabubuhay ekonomiya pag nakakalabas din ng mga bata, pag pamilya, nakakapamasyal, and of course, breaking the chain of transmission. Kailangan kasi talaga yung mga bata mabakunahan din because they carry it, they go out, they go home, and they can infect other members of their family. So it's a big, we now have a big segment of the population that was previously not eligible to get this vaccination na ngayon magkakaroon na kasi ang bata ng population natin, no, that 12 to 17, that's about 10 million children, people, no, that's 10% of our population.
I was going to ask you nga if you had a number to it. So it's 10 million.
Yeah, it's mga 2 million per age. 2 million ang pinapanganak sa atin taon-taon sa Pilipinas. So for every year of age, it's about 2 million. So yung 12 to 17, mga 10 to 12 million. So this is 10% of our population that, you know, kasama yan dapat sa mabibigyan natin ng protection.
I want to shift topics now. I know you have a meeting to attend, but I do want to ask you about the clinical trial that's about to start, and the DOST has been pushing for this, the clinical trial on ivermectin. As we talk about vaccines, as we talk about the importance of it, in the past few weeks, because of the surge as well, nabuhay na naman itong discussions about ivermectin. How do you think... You know, here's a question. The trials, that's going to start. The WHO, they haven't changed their stand on ivermectin. Even the makers of the drug, they're still saying there's no potential therapeutic effect, no evidence to point to that. And yet we're going to push through with this trial, taxpayers' money going to fund it. How will you be able to position yourself then if the trials say it can be used on humans? Will you follow the WHO guidelines or will you give your approval?
Well, ako, for example, in the FDA right now, our stand really is there's not enough evidence to show that there's any benefit, no, in using ivermectin for the treatment or for the prevention of COVID-19. And when you say there's not enough evidence, that means, you know, generate evidence, show us, no, that it actually works. Yung sa WHO naman na statement, meron silang there's some nuance there saying that, you know, do not use it outside of well-controlled clinical trials. So even they admit that, you know, some trials say it works, some trials say that it doesn't, but, you know, continue studying it and generating data to show. So welcome naman sa atin lahat ng clinical trial results as long as the studies are well done. At least ang DOST, alam natin, paggagawa ng study yan, this is going to be a well-designed clinical trial that will give us useful information whether for the use of ivermectin or against the use of ivermectin. No? So ako, personally, I'm very curious what the results will be. We are eagerly awaiting it. I believe it's going to be a well-designed and well-controlled study and would give us some very clear ideas on whether or not it is going to be useful, no, in the treatment of humans.
Here's the thing, though, Dr. D'Amico. A lot of people are really skeptical because, first and foremost, we do know why that trial is being pushed, right? It's also, it has the backing of the palace, which makes people think that, you know, this is just a trial to sort of appease the palace and give the palace the results that they want. How would you reassure the public that that isn't so?
Oh, definitely the results will be very, very objective. No, I mean, even before we do a clinical trial and we approve it, the FDA will give a final approval to a clinical trial. No? You have to make sure that the design is very well made. It has to undergo technical review by consultants who do not know who is going to do the study. And then you have to make ethics board review. You have to pass ethics board review to make sure that everything is going to be done properly. So dun sa science part, I do not have any doubts naman. Pero yun nga, talagang at this time, there's no evidence. In fact, sa states ngayon that so many people are using it, even the CDC has come up with an advisory, you know, stop using it because habang dumadaming nagre-reset at gumagamit, dumadami rin yung poisoning and toxicity cases nila, no, ng ivermectin because people are using it at very high doses. You know, they're taking animal animal medicines. They're taking ano yung para sa kabayo, para sa baka, you know, and it's so scary, no? So that's my advice to everybody: wait for the science. Don't just take anything into your body.
Yeah, you better give that advice to some members of Congress, Dr.
Oh, yeah, I did. No? I just don't know if they took it.
But glad that you mentioned what's happening in the States, because it's only a matter of time, right? We know that what happens there eventually finds its way here. Emergency rooms, let's talk about that. That's getting overwhelmed, not just by COVID-19 patients, but also by those who have been using ivermectin. Tell us about what you have learned so far, what's happening there in the States. I want to hear it from you. I also have some info about what's happening there and the symptoms that people have been having because of the use of ivermectin, Dr. Domingo.
Yeah, well, the most common symptoms, no, are neurologic. Not only in the States, even here. No, I mean, we've all seen the reports of several cases, especially elderly people have been taking it regularly. So neurologic, they lose their sense of orientation. Some people develop like a weakness, difficulty in maintaining balance. No, and then, of course, some people also get liver damage and kidney damage. So, kasi wala naman gamot na that's 100% safe, no? Lahat ng gamot, meron talaga pong side effects yan. Kaya lang, you only take it if the benefit is really overwhelming, and then very rare yung mga side effects. Kaya kung hindi po tayo sigurado sa benefit, don't take the medication because the side effects are still going to be there, no? So, we're now seeing these cases. And the hospitals are so overwhelmed with the COVID-19 cases. Ang kawawa actually yung mga non-COVID cases, no? Kung yun nga pong na heart attack at saka yung na stroke, hirap na hirap mahanapan ng ospital ngayon, wag na tayong magdagdag doon, ano, by taking something that might potentially, no, give unwanted side effects.
Have you been monitoring, are you able to monitor the sale and use of ivermectin, even if it's not FDA approved here in the country, doctor?
There is FDA approved human ivermectin for as an anti-parasitic, no?
Correct.
And yeah, we've been checking sa mga pharmacy natin. Hindi naman ganun kadami, no. The sales are not that high. They haven't skyrocketed. And hindi naman yung runaway na biglang tumataas yung sales nila. Mm-hmm. So far, hindi naman. Tsaka of course here you need a prescription to get it.
Oh, that's one other thing that, you know, people really thought that it was the FDA at its weakest. I'm sure you know about that when you gave the green light to the use of it. Let's backtrack a bit. Why did you even do that?
Because it's listed, it's registered for its known therapeutic indication, which is as an anti-helminthic, anti-parasitic, no? And that is a proven indication for it. And for that, it actually does have a good safety and efficacy profile. So ang bawat gamot naman po kasi pag nirehistro yan sa FDA, nakalagay kung para sa ano siya and kung anong dosage. And we approve it as that.
Yeah, but you have no way of monitoring if these doctors who prescribe it actually prescribe it for that use.
But that doctor takes responsibility. So if they give a medication and you use it off-label, no, what we call off-label use, meaning out of your wisdom and understanding of the patient, you think this medicine is good for this patient, even though it is not listed as that, then that is up to you and you take full responsibility for that. Ang hindi pwede kasi yung pasyente ang bibili na lamang or pupulot na lang siya ng gamot everywhere without the complete knowledge of what it can do to that person. I mean, somebody has to take responsibility for it. And in this case, it's the doctor who is prescribing it.
Finally, let's go back to the clinical trial. That's going to happen soon. Some people are saying, here we are, not enough vaccines. You just approved the use of COVID-19 vaccines on teens. Healthcare workers getting overwhelmed, not enough funds for them, for their benefits. And yet we're pouring funds into the trial of ivermectin. Could we be using that on something else that would be more beneficial, Dr. Domingo? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, let's just think of it as contributing to the body of knowledge, you know, to scientific evidence and to making a decision. You know, kasi whether naman positive or negative ang resulta, you still contribute to the knowledge that the world needs. So I would leave it at that.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it at that. Dr. Eric Domingo there, Director General of the Philippine Food and Drug Administration. Thanks so much for joining us today. Take care and you keep safe.
Thank you.
Right, we're going to move on to the rest of the news this afternoon. We're going to go to the United States now, where dozens are dead as remnants of Hurricane Ida blindsided the northeastern region. Filipino-American families among those hit by the massive flooding there. ABS-CBN North America Bureau correspondent Don Tagala reports.
Flights were disrupted in New Jersey's Newark Liberty Airport, with about 370 flights canceled as of Thursday morning. Teterboro Airport in Teterboro, New Jersey, was closed with water covering the tarmac. The historic weather event turned streets into rivers that swept away anything on its path.
Like 10 o'clock at night, and it was just so bad. The car started flooding, the BQE was flooding, the water was already above the hood over the windshield, too. It was really bad. It was that bad. It was very bad. It was like the first time I ever seen this, and I've lived here all my life.
Phil and Michael Kaya walked through waist-deep flooded streets and then shot this video of a car with a passenger in it submerged in the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway.
There were people inside. I could not do anything. They didn't want to leave their car. The video that I put on Facebook, there was someone in that car, and they were turning the windshield wipers on and off because he didn't want to leave his car.
In Rockland, New York, half of Little John Gaudia's backyard was flooded in up to 3 feet of water from a creek that overflowed.
This one is nonstop, was nonstop. You know, it started like 5:30 in the afternoon. It ended up like 1:30 in the morning.
Meanwhile, in Jersey City, New Jersey, Trixie Ava's basement got flooded and grew in her balikbayan boxes scheduled to be sent home to the Philippines this Christmas. Joey Mayo's basement was also flooded because the water pump that was supposed to keep his basement dry failed to pump out water.
Right now, we still have to make the assessment. For the most part, it's used for storage and a laundry area. I know the boiler and those other equipment are raised up about a foot on cement blocks, so those weren't damaged. But I'm not sure if any of the electronics or the washer and dryer, but electricity seems to be fine. A lot of this stuff is in plastic tubs for whatever is basically touching the ground from 6 inches or above. Any of the furniture or anything that's in bags or boxes is basically now, it's garbage now.
Mayo says it will take some time to pump out the flood water.
We have a total of 3 sump pumps. We have 1 submersible sump pump, and we have 3 wetbacks currently running. It's going to take hours to get that amount of water out of the basement.
In the aftermath of the storm's flooding, dozens of people have died in Connecticut, Maryland, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. The Biden administration pledged to assist states devastated by Ida. Don Tagala, ABS-CBN News, Jersey City, New Jersey.
U.S. President Joe Biden directs the Energy Department to use all its tools to keep gas flowing in the aftermath of Hurricane Ida. This includes the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, that's the world's largest supply of emergency crude oil. It was established primarily to reduce the impact of disruptions in supplies of petroleum products. Dozens of oil and gas companies operate in the Gulf of Mexico, which supplies about 16% of the nation's oil production. Biden, who is due to survey the destruction left behind by Hurricane Ida, says recent catastrophes should convince Congress on the need to improve America's infrastructure.
The past few days of Hurricane Ida and the wildfires in the West and the unprecedented flash floods in New York and New Jersey is yet another reminder that these extreme storms and the climate crisis are here. We need to be much better prepared. We need to act. When Congress returns this month, I'm going to press for their action on my Build Back Better plan. That's going to make historic investments in electrical infrastructure, modernizing our roads, bridges, our water systems, sewer and draining systems, electric grids and transmission lines, and make them more resilient to these superstorms and wildfires.
With the effects of climate change becoming more and more pronounced, a climate expert says there is still something that can be done to curb extreme weather events in the future. Climate scientist Daniel Swain says interventions such as cutting global emissions and infrastructure development can counter some of the effects of climate change. He adds, it is time to update centuries-old infrastructure to be able to withstand 21st century climate.
But there's not really a lot of evidence that we're on a runaway train, if you will. It's more like we're on a train going downhill. The brakes are perfectly functional, but we're choosing not to apply them. And so in that sense, we're still very much in control of the climate system. So the good news is, if we choose to bring our net carbon emissions to zero, we will be able to stop global warming. The bad news is that even given the fact that we are not on that runaway train, that train moving downhill is still gaining speed. And we're starting to see that with events like what happened this summer around the Northern Hemisphere with extreme heat and extreme floods.
Environmental groups call on the Asian Development Bank to recalibrate its new energy policy. The groups are raising concerns over what they call loose wording and loopholes in the policy. They say ADB did not provide any clear provisions on environmental issues, such as how coal-fired power and heating facilities will be phased out. The groups add, the policy has no time-bound commitments and that it's unclear how communities are included in the projects. The ADB vows to take note of the feedback as it prepares its final version of the energy policy. But it asserts the paper is a result of extensive consultations with concerned parties. President Rodrigo Duterte again telling the Senate to stop investigating government projects. The Senate is probing the alleged misuse of billions of pesos in pandemic response funds. This includes the 8 billion peso deal with Farmily Pharmaceuticals Corporation, whose top officials are wanted in Taiwan for economic crimes. President Duterte maintains there was nothing wrong with that deal.
With the purchases of masks overpriced, yun ang tanong. Ang sagot is no, they are not. Do not kayong mga lahat, Senate, do not investigate programs which are ongoing. You will derail it, you will delay it by your incessant penchant for investigating government offices. Kayo yung palaging nag-iimbestiga. I hope that someday we will have also a time to question your actuations. And we will start with you. Hindi naman kayo lahat dyan malinis.
Meanwhile, President Duterte again commended Health Secretary Francisco Duque III for his handling of the pandemic. Several sectors have been calling for Duque's resignation over the rising number of infections, corruption allegations, and the delayed benefits of health workers.
The Philippines has breached the 12 million mark in COVID cases. 2 million. 2 million mark. However, ang consuelo natin is that 1.8 million of these have recovered. So meron na lang 200 na wala. And that is a very good reflection of what our health people are doing. And I would like also to commend Secretary Duque for that.
President Duterte also again lashed out at Senator Richard Gordon, the chairman of the Senate's Blue Ribbon Committee. Duterte is accusing Gordon of using his position as chairman of the Philippine Red Cross to advance his political career.
And I dare say, na ginamit mo talaga ito para sa elections. Ito yung milking cow mo eh, sa totoo lang. Are you really investigation in aid of legislation or in aid of your personal political interest? I heard that you want to run for vice president next year. And you are trying to impress the opposition that they would consider you. At ang pinakamabaho ang nakita ko sa iyo is when you threaten to stop testing.
Duterte also wants the Audit Commission to look into the finances of the PRC.
Mas mabuti na yung ganun. Let us be open to everybody. You open your books and I open mine and you can read all what is entered there and I also examine what you have done so that it will be a fair scheme for everybody.
But former COA Commissioner Heidi Mendoza points out, as a private institution, the PRC cannot be subjected to a government audit. Mendoza adds what can be looked into are government agencies receiving funds from private donors. As for Senator Gordon, he has yet to respond to Duterte's latest attacks against him. Another supposedly overpriced purchase by the health department, bared by Senator Panfilo Lacson, this time on the procurement of ambulance units with a jacked up price of 2.5 million pesos each. Lacson claims that's a million peso more than what's currently available in the market. So far, he has uncovered nearly 100 of these questionable vehicles already distributed in the Calabarzon region. Lacson will confront the DOH with his latest findings when the Senate resumes its probe on its COVID-19 pandemic spending on September 7. I'm going to take a break now. Up ahead, the new COVID-19 variant first discovered in Colombia spreads to more countries. Details when we come back. This is Dateline Philippines here on ANC. We're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. President Rodrigo Duterte again tells the Senate to stop looking into alleged corruption in government projects. The health department closely monitoring a new COVID-19 variant first discovered in Colombia. Moderna gets the green light for the use of its COVID-19 vaccine on 12 to 17-year-olds here in the Philippines. And dozens are dead in the catastrophic flooding that occurred in the Northeast. Back with more news. Now, hours after President Duterte told the Senate to stop its investigation into the health department's pandemic spending, the Presidential Anti-Corruption Commission launched an interagency project to combat corruption. Mike Navallo now joins us with details. Mike, go ahead.
Hi, Carmina. The Presidential Anti-Corruption Commission launched earlier today a flagship project which created a 49-member interagency coordinating council dubbed Project Kasanga Action Laban sa Korupsyon. The campaign will include the creation of a national anti-corruption coordinating council which will have presence in every level of government, according to PACC Chair Greco Belgica. The president himself sent a short tape message where he pledged his support to the campaign. The president, that message was presumably taped the night before because he was wearing the same clothes when he ranted in Malacanang against the Senate's investigation into the contracts entered into by the Department of Budget and Management and the Department of Health. Among the subject of the Senate probe is a multi-billion deal to buy allegedly overpriced personal protective equipment and other medical supplies from a company whose executives are supposedly wanted in Taiwan. The Duterte denied overpricing the purchase of masks and face shields. four senators have also said they will back probes into Senator Bongo's links in the family's deals with the BBM. But Goh himself was also present through a tape message in that launch this morning saying, kapag sangkot ka sa korupsyon, yari ka talaga. Belica likened the Anti-Corruption Coordinating Council to the government's approach in its drug war and anti-insurgency campaigns by creating presence at the village level. Barangay anti-drug abuse councils were activated in the drug war. The National Task Force to End Local Communist Armed Conflict was also created in the anti-insurgency campaign. But both approaches have been criticized by rights groups for resulting in thousands of deaths of drug suspects and activists. Belica, however, said the anti-corruption committees at the barangay level will speed up solving corruption because even if information have not yet been validated, it could already try to verify the information. Belica also said that the work of the anti-corruption committees will not conflict with those of the resident auditors of the Commission on Audit and the Department of Justice-led Task Force Against Corruption. He said their work will complement the investigative work of the two bodies because he said that the ACC will also have preventive and educative functions, although he did not detail how that will work. Now, why is there a need for an anti-corruption coordinating council? Belica said that the powers of the PACC, which was created by virtue of an executive order, are limited, and its mandate only applies to presidential appointees occupying top posts in government. He said there's a need to bring the fight against corruption to the lowest level of government, and he hopes for a law expanding the powers of his agency. Once the PACC's mandate comes from a law, he said, and once funds are given, all offices will have anti-corruption committees. Now, it is not clear if the Anti-Corruption Coordinating Council, created through a memorandum of agreement, will have more teeth than the PACC itself. The PACC has been quiet about the Senate probe and the findings of the Commission on Audit, although Belica said they are monitoring the Senate's and the House public probes so they could also send their own subpoenas. But Belica did not categorically state if they are launching or have started their probe on the pandemic contracts and what the scope of their investigation might be. He earlier told the media he will wait until the government agencies flagged by COA are able to submit their justifications. Belica was also no longer able to answer one more question. How will he reconcile the president's latest statements telling the Senate to stop investigations on the pandemic contracts with the goal of this agency and the Anti-Corruption Coordinating Council to eradicate corruption? Famina?
All right, Mike. As you said, he didn't go into details as to how this will not be redundant with the task force headed by Secretary Menardo Guevara. Here's the thing, though. This administration has less than a year left in its lifespan. First question, was he able to answer why only now? He's been part of that commission. I know he heads it now, but he's always been part of that commission. Why are they coming up with this program now?
Actually, Gormini was just asked, what more can they do in a year's time? And he was just saying that they could speed up resolving corruption issues and that because they are able to complement the work of the other agencies involved, they could actually try to bring anti-corruption efforts at the lowest level, the barangay level. But he did not answer that question, the point you're making, Carmina, because actually the difficulty with a moderated press briefing, you submit mm-hmm. questions, they get to choose which questions he can answer, and you can no longer follow up. So these questions that we're trying to ask were no longer addressed during that press conference, Carmina.
We also know, Mike, that Mr. Belica is part of the shortlist of the Senate slate come 2022. Was that also asked during the press conference how this cannot be seen as a possible vehicle for him to sort of use it to gain more traction if he pushes for a seat at the Senate?
Not at all, Carmina. That question never came up. And also the question about a corruption issue against him filed before the Office of the Ombudsman, that also did not come up already in that short, brief press conference, Carmina.
Okay, we're just going to have to try. To be fair, we did try to invite Commissioner Belica on the program today, but obviously he was in that press conference. We're going to try, of course, maybe next week. Mike Navarro there joining us on the line. Thanks, Mike. Take care. Keep safe. the Philippines reported 16,621 new COVID-19 cases Thursday, the nationwide tally now up to 2,020,000. More than 146,000 of those are active infections. The health department, however, notes the pace of the increase in COVID-19 cases has slowed down these past few days. Still, government urges the public not to get complacent.
Sa ngayon, wala tayong nakikita na lugar na naka-alert level 1, kaya ho yung ating tuloy-tuloy na panawagan individually at our LGUs and our workplaces to implement the interventions and measures we've recommended so that we can see a decline in cases.
Philippine health officials closely monitoring a new COVID-19 variant first discovered in Colombia. It's called the Mu strain. The World Health Organization says its mutations indicate it has the potential to evade immunity provided by previous COVID-19 infections or vaccination. The WHO declared Mu a variant of interest Tuesday. It has already been detected in at least 43 countries. So far, no such cases have been detected in the Philippines.
Alam natin na meron pong increased transmissibility at din na meron siyang potential na epekto sa ating vaccine efficacy.
A health official in Colombia says the variant was responsible for Colombia's deadly third wave of infections. The official adds the Mu strain is showing high transmissibility. The Philippines vaccine expert panel will decide next week whether the country needs booster shots to curb COVID-19 transmission. Dr. Nina Gloriani says they are looking for the best possible solution to protect health workers amid the scarcity of vaccines. In Thailand, booster doses were already given to medical and frontline workers who received China's Sinovac jab.
Tuloy-tuloy naman yung aming pag-uusap, pero marami kasing kinoconsider, yung breakthrough infections sa healthcare workers. Pero siguro masasabi ko ay ito nangyayari sa lahat ng mga bakuna, hindi lang sa isang bakuna.
On Thursday, Vaccine Chief Carlito Galvez Jr. said the government was already in talks with four different manufacturers of booster shots. He says they will arrange the procurement once they get the go signal from local experts. The Philippine Education Department planning to hold a dry run of limited face-to-face classes in over 100 schools. ABS-CBN correspondent Ara Perez now joins us for more details. Ara, go ahead.
Carmina, these 120 schools consist of public and private schools, according to DepEd USEC Nepomuceno Malaluan. Malaluan explained 100 schools were initially eyed to start limited face-to-face classes, but additional allocation was requested for private schools, which DOH was agreeable to. The official added there are no identified private schools yet and the process will be disclosed upon approval of the joint DepEd-DOH guidelines. Distance learning remains the mode of instruction for basic education in the Philippines as the upcoming school year starts on September 13. But DepEd Secretary Leonor Briones earlier said gradually returning to in-person classes is a possibility upon the approval of President Duterte. The agency assured it is working with DOH, local government units, and other concerned agencies in crafting guidelines and preparing for the reopening of schools. Carmina.
Thanks a lot, Ara. Take care. Keep safe. Moving on with the rest of the news, the Commission on Elections now open to a possible extension of voter registration. The COMELEC earlier said an extension would delay its poll preparations. But COMELEC Chairman Sherif Abba says it will now look into that proposal as lockdown measures continue to hamper voter registration.
Tingnan po namin yung ganong proposal. Oo, pero sige lang po. Pag-aralan muna namin, Madam Chair, if that would be feasible. Okay? So yung after filing, continue kami ng registration up to October 30.
Meanwhile, the poll body has decided to extend the deadline for the transfer of overseas voter records. Returning overseas Filipinos now have until the end of the month to complete the process. We'll take another break now. Still ahead, EJ Obiena is now the world's fifth best poll voter. More on that when we come back. Stay tuned. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. More news and update now on the weather here in the Philippines. Pag-asa forecaster Raymond Ordinario now joins us with the latest. Raymond, go ahead.
Yes, Ms. Carmina, good afternoon. And this is our forecast for the next 24 hours. The monsoon trough is now affecting the western section of Luzon, and we're expecting a cloudy skies with scattered rain showers and thunderstorm over Palawan area. Meanwhile, a generally fair weather condition, aside from some isolated rain showers or thunderstorm, is expected here in Metro Manila and the rest of the country. The temperature will range here in Metro Manila from 24 to 32 degrees Celsius, while in Baguio is around 16 to 24, and Metro Cebu area is around 24 to 32 degrees Celsius. As of now, Ms. Carmina, we don't have any gale warning raised in any seabirds of our country, meaning to say that our fisher folks and those who have small sea crab can freely venture out of the sea because we're just expecting a slight to moderate sea condition. Meanwhile, we do not expect any tropical cyclone developing within the next 2 to 3 days or over the weekend, and we're going to expect a generally fair weather condition here in Metro Manila aside from some afternoon localized thunderstorm. And that's the latest from the Weather Forecasting Center of Pagasa, Raymond Ordinario reporting.
Thanks a lot, Raymond, to you and the rest of the team. Thanks for all that you do. Keep safe. Abu Dhabi lifts its quarantine requirement for vaccinated tourists. This as the United Arab Emirates recorded zero COVID deaths for the first time since November. Vaccinated travelers with negative COVID test results no longer need the quarantine upon arrival. The RT-PCR test must be carried out within 48 hours before departure. On Monday, the UAE resumed issuing visas to all fully vaccinated tourists in a bid to restart tourism. Although life in the UAE has largely returned to normal, it still retains strict rules on wearing masks and physical distancing. The Philippine Central Bank says it has enough space for further monetary policy easing as the pandemic continues to cast a shadow on the country's growth outlook. Central Bank Governor Benjamin Diokno says the path to recovery remains uncertain due to the spread of COVID-19 variants. But if and when the BSP does start to normalize policy settings, Diokno assures the public that nobody will be caught by surprise.
The BSP's conventional policy instruments are far from fully utilized. At this juncture, I'd like to emphasize that while the BSP will continue to support the economy, we remain committed to our price and financial stability objectives. The BSP will continue to ensure that policy responses will not lead to excessive inflation and trigger financial stability risk. When domestic developments warrant a recalibration or withdrawal of policy support, the BSP will ensure a smooth normalization of its time and state-bound measures.
The Philippine Central Bank has kept its key interest rate at a record low of 2% to further support the COVID-hit economy. In sports, Filipino Olympian EJ Obiena now ranks fifth in the world pole vault rankings. That's after his record-breaking performance in Paris, where he cleared 5.91 meters to break the national record. It was also a new personal best for Obiena. The Filipino athlete went on social media to thank his fans for their support. A Filipino-American rapper gets a McDonald's meal dedicated to her, just like K-pop group BTS. The Saweetie meal comes with a Big Mac, Chicken McNuggets, and special edition sauces. Saweetie tells her Filipino fans to also watch out for the Taglish version of her McDonald's commercial.
I hope that I do the Taglish justice because I don't have the accent. And, you know, like Tagalog is such a special language because you have to have the accent to make some of the words sound good. So I was trying my best. Like my mom was on standby.
What is the most Filipina thing about you that people may not know?
When I get really frustrated, I say Sus Mariosep. And they're like, what did you just say?
Same, Sus Mariosep. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Playback this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.